Welcome to the Powell Bros Movie Reviews, brought to you by our supporters at Patreon. In case you have been under a rock, the world around us is in ruins. A nihilistic worldview permeates the film industry, sodomites control the cultural narrative, corporations run by sexual perverts and money launderers are constantly pumping out garbage content in order to entertain us. We here at the Powell Bros are over it. We want to give honest reviews of movies that expose the wicked and glorify the good. We want to find stories that have masculine male characters who slay dragons, and feminine female characters who need saving. We want stories and want to see creators who have an artistic prowess that shames and defeats our enemies. We are tired of the nihilistic moral ambiguity of modern-day entertainment. And we want stories that change people, that inspire people towards goodness, truth, and beauty. And most importantly, we want the entire entertainment industry to bow the knee to Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. Yes, we are Christians, and we are unashamed of that. And if that bothers you, too bad. Now, if you do wish to support us in our mission, please head over to patreon.com/thepowellbros or follow the link in the show notes. There, you will gain access to our exclusive show, The Powell Bros Mini Reviews, as well as early access to both Movie Chronicles and Movie Reviews. Now, on with the show. The Coen brothers come together to tackle an adaptation of a story that has stood the test of time, The Odyssey. How do they handle it? Is it an adaptation worthy of such a story? Do they capture the magic of The Odyssey? Well, this movie, though ridiculous at times, deals with a lot of themes that we like to discuss on this podcast. And so, come and join us as we join our heroes on their journey home to find glory and redemption. I hope you enjoy this episode as we review Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? Welcome to the Powell Bros Movie Reviews, where we review movies, and we do it once a month now. You know, we used to do it weekly, but we've kind of changed things around where we're kind of doing a movie night when we set some time aside to watch a movie and review it more in depth in a long hour-long episode. Sometimes even longer than that, but we try to keep it within under an hour. But yeah, we're here another week. We're making our way through the second season still. We still have our top 10 each films that we are unpacking and delving into. Last one was The Prisoners, and now we have another great one for you this week. Tobiah, I am one of your hosts, Trent Powell. I'm joined by my other host, Tobiah Powell. Tobiah, how are you doing, and what movie are we watching?
I'm doing good. Yeah, this is exciting. Glad we're doing it once a month. Gives us more time to prepare and let the movie sink in, and it's first Wednesday of every month. So if you're wondering, first Wednesday. And yeah, we're reviewing Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? Coen Brothers movie based on The Odyssey. Pretty heavy hitter here.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, Tobiah, this was my pick. One of my favorite movies, and after watching it again, it still is one of my favorite movies. It might even be higher on the list. We'll talk about that when we get there. And Tobiah, what did you think of this film as you watched it again?
I've seen this movie many, many times. I really do enjoy this movie. It's hilarious. It's very genius in a lot of ways. My biggest confession here is I've not read The Odyssey. It's on my book list to read this year. I'm sorry if that hinders this movie for me at all, which I think it does. I do want to read it and see if it makes this movie better for me. I do plan to read it this year. It's on my book list. I have the book and prepared to read it this year, but I have not read it yet. And yeah, there's just some little things in this movie that kind of make it like I don't think it's a great movie that it's like in my top 10. Yeah, we can kind of work through that later. Still an enjoyable movie, still hilarious. It's yeah
We thought you was a toad.
Oh, George, not the livestock.
Oh, we're in a tight spot. Oh, we're in a tight spot.
We're in a tight spot.
All right, we're going to try, like our Napoleon Dynamite episode, we'll probably just be quoting the movie the whole time, but yeah. This is just another hilarious movie.
Oh, George, not the livestock.
No, the livestock. Well, it's just even funnier when you read the Odyssey and think about even that scene.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I'll get into that later, but it's just awesome. John Goodman's character as well as the Cyclops. Is brilliant. He's a Bible salesman, but he's a con man.
Yeah,
pretty much, and he's kind of. Crushes one of them because they turn into a toad. The Cyclops in the Odyssey eats Odysseus's friends, companions. Mm-hmm. So I wish John Goodman would have eaten the frog. It would have been even better. But anyways, it's what it is.
Yeah.
Crushing him is fine. It makes sense. It's fine. It works.
Yeah.
Sorry. So those are your thoughts, Spy.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, Brother Art Thou, we watched this a lot when we were younger. I think it was one of our dad's favorite movies, and kind of stuck with me as like, man, this is just a fun, hilarious, good story film. And it's just one that I just love sitting down to watch. I could watch over and over again, which I can't say, even with a lot of movies on my list, like I wouldn't probably say I enjoy watching over and over again. I mean, sort of, like, I think because a lot of movies are just long. This one's not that long, and sort of, I mean, it's got a little bit of length to it, but not as long as other movies. And actually, I don't remember how long it is, but anyways. So, O Brother, Where Art Thou, came out. Oh, also, another 2000 film came out in the year 2000, which is like the third movie on my list that came out in the year 2000, unintentionally, with Gladiator and The Patriot.
Mm-hmm.
So, apparently, I like movies came out in 2000 when I was 4.
Yeah.
So, there's that. But this is directed by not just one, but two brothers, Joel and Ethan Coen.
Mm-hmm.
We actually do like the Coen brothers a lot because, Tobias, how many other films do we have that were directed by the Coen brothers this season?
Three total.
Coming up. What?
We have three total, right?
Yeah.
So two more are coming up. Yeah.
We have True Grit, and which was your pick, right?
Yeah.
And then I picked No Country for Old Men. So,
so you
got three Coen Brothers movies coming up on this long season that we've expanded to be pretty long.
Mm-hmm.
We've got two more coming after this. So we like the Coen Brothers. We are the Powell Brothers, Powell Bros. We like these brothers. This movie has a lot of brothers in the deep south in this in this movie. Powell Brothers, the Coen Brothers, the Brothers Brothers. Oh, Brother, Where Art Thou? This is loosely based on Homer's long poem called The Odyssey. It's set in the deep south during the Great Depression. The story follows three escaped convicts. We got Ulysses Everett McGill, played by George Clooney. We got Pete Hogwallop by John Turbo, and we got Delmar O'Donnell, played by Tim Blake Nelson. So Everett is, he's a smooth talking but somewhat unreliable character. He convinces his fellow inmates, because they're in prison. But he convinces them to escape from prison or to search for a supposed treasure that has been buried. That was buried before Ulysses's incarceration. So the trio journeys seeking to find this treasure. It mirrors a lot of the adventures of Odysseus. as they encounter some very quirky and quirky characters and deal with a lot of perilous situations, all while being pursued by the law. In the story of Odysseus, a lot of it is really the gods that are pursuing him. So you have Zeus, who's kind of antagonistic towards him, and then Poseidon especially is antagonistic towards Odysseus. In the movie, this is kind of laying my cards out as far as how I understand this film, but the sheriff that's going after them kind of represents the devil in a sense. So maybe you can say like Hades, sort of, even though Hades doesn't really play much of a role. He literally go to Hades in Odysseus, in the Odyssey a lot. Anyways, that's getting way too much into the roots. But anyways, they're being chased by Sheriff Cooley as he's looking, to arrest these escaped convicts. And the difference here is that Ulysses, George Clooney's character, he goes by Everett throughout most of the film. The name Ulysses is literally a Latin for Odysseus. So that's where they get the name. is Odysseus. There's a clear difference between the characters. Ulysses isn't a war hero. So the Odyssey follows Odysseus as he's a hero in the Trojan War who was a victorious war hero, essentially, following the Trojan War. And it's about his journey as he makes his way home to be with his wife. And his home, he goes back to his homeland where he's kind of like a king. But back home, his property is being overtaken by these men that are seeking to, get in bed with his wife essentially and take over his inheritance. His wife thinks that he's probably dead. All these men, they call them suitors. They're suitors for his inheritance. They can, if they marry his wife, then they can become, they can inherit his property, his homeland, his name, and all his flocks and livestock and so forth. So they're at home trying to seduce his wife, trying to win her over. And he's not dead, and he's trying to make his way home, but the gods are preventing that from happening, and he goes through a whole journey where he's fighting against all kinds of different creatures and monsters and all these things, so forth, so on and so forth, and the story is about him making his way home to reclaim his homeland. Same thing with Ulysses, sort of, except for he's a convicted felon. He didn't do anything like murder someone. He literally just lied about
he didn't have the license to practice law and
practice law.
He lied and said he did, and yeah,
right,
got caught.
So he's a liar, which Odysseus also has a lying problem in the story of the Odyssey. So there are similarities there. Like Odysseus does lie and cheat his way through a lot of scenarios, situations, similar to Ulysses. So anyways, that's basically it. Like, we're following Ulysses and his companions in this story as they meet all kinds of wacky characters, like a Cyclops in John Goodman, who has one eye. He has an eye patch. He's a Bible salesman. And literally one of his in the story of the Odyssey, pretty much most of his friends get eaten by the Cyclops, and he barely escapes. This one of his friends turns into a frog, supposedly, and then gets crushed by the Cyclops, and so forth. So, yeah. And also, like, one music is a pretty prominent thing in this movie. First off, soundtrack, 10 out of 10, incredible. I love the sound. I've been listening to it like a lot. It's like, look at the lyrics of that song. Like, it's straight from the Odyssey. Like, it's describing Odysseus and his sorrows and his struggles that he has throughout the story. And and so forth. And his son in the story plays a prominent role as we're following his journey as well, as he's going off to look for Odysseus and doesn't find him. So he deals with a lot of sorrows and trials and so forth. And Odysseus finds out that his mom passes away when he's off, away from his home. And so he goes through those sorrows and those trials and tribulations, so forth. That song was written, based off the Odyssey. It's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. They happen to, find their way into a recording studio, and they happen to be really talented musicians, and they record a song that, and the only reason they get to do it is because they pretend that they're black, but then they tell them that, no, we're actually not black, but our friend is black, but no, he's not black. And it's just, they have another companion that comes on. He's like the bard in the story of the Odyssey. There's a character that pretty much plays music a lot throughout the story in the Odyssey. It's pretty much, what's his name? I can't remember.
I don't know. I just remember the scene. He's like, oh, brother, you sold your everlasting soul to the devil? He's like, well, I wasn't using it.
I wasn't using it. That's so great. Yep, I'm dead. Sold my soul to the devil. we going got baptized.
Yeah. So, when he got saved.
Sorry.
When he describes the devil, I think, isn't he describing the sheriff?
Yeah. Essentially. Yeah. Well, no, he actually is. Yeah, they're referring to the sheriff because we find out later on that, like, during that scene where with the KKK, when he's going to get hung, I can't remember. It's something to do with the fact that he had sold his soul to the sheriff. And so the sheriff's always referred to as the devil kind of throughout the film and alluded to as the devil.
Yeah.
The law is catching up with them, but like it's judgment catching up somewhat sort of, but it's Satan claiming, like you guys belong to me. So he's seeking to claim them. But in the story I think there's a spiritual battle somewhat where like, especially with Ulysses' character, where he's like, oh, that's all superstition and whack magic. Like, I don't want anything to do with that. I'm a simple man. I understand the world in a simple way. I'm not all about that superstition and stuff and religion. But he's like struggling with that. And like, he has crisis of faith throughout the film. And like, he's working through whether or not we're as audience trying to figure out what he does believe and so forth. And like this devil's coming after him, but his friends got saved and they are baptized. And so like, where's he at? Where's he standing? Yeah. And then we'll get to the ending later. Cause that's, I think the ending can be left up to interpretation in a lot of ways as far as we should understand it and could understand it. And I have my theories and ideas, but he sold his soul to the sheriff, and of course, and then his friends come and save him from the devil when he's about to get hung by the KKK, and so he's like rescued out of hell. Like that whole KKK scene is literally basically Odysseus's time spent in Hades in hell, which happens in the story. It's similar, and where he's trying to rescue his friends and so forth. And all
great.
It's interesting.
Yeah. So one of my big concerns or issues.
Tommy Johnson, sorry. Tommy Johnson is the black guy's name. Tommy.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So I feel like our main protagonist, Ulysses, is that his name?
Everett.
His motivation through going on this journey isn't very well earned, because we know that he's a liar and a criminal, and yet we're supposed to have pity for him as he's trying to get back home to his family because his wife is now going to be marrying this guy, and so
he's bona fide. Forget to buy. He's bona fide.
Bona fide.
How you doing, Bonafide?
You're not Bonafide. He's Bonafide. So I think that there's not enough there for us to like really want him to like get home. I don't know if there's like, do you think like are we supposed to like really be rooting for him? Because throughout the entire movie, every time you're just like, yeah, this guy's an absolute scoundrel. Like, he doesn't deserve his wife. He's a loser. And yeah.
Yeah. No, that's a great point. And I do agree. Like, he is a scoundrel. He's a liar. And they make it very clear. It's like, dude, this dude will cheat to get whatever he wants. And he has received the consequences of his actions. He was imprisoned. He did lose his wife. Another man is winning her over. Another man who is bona fide. Mm-hmm. And he is working through what I think is he's working through repentance throughout the film. He sees his ways as, or he his goal is to get what he wants in whatever way possible, to lie, cheat, or steal. He convinces his friends, he lies to his friends, tells them, oh, there's this treasure back home. Mm-hmm. Let's break out of prison. Let's get it. So he lied in order to get them out. And consequences of that, well, one of his friends turns into a toad. his friends end up hating him. They, you know, they go through a bunch of, they fight and quarrel, and they realize what happened. One of his friends goes back to prison because of him. Mm-hmm. I think what makes it work though is his friends, because we sympathize with them. They're the ones that actually want to live righteous lives. They're the ones that want to set things straight. Though there's temptation, like the scene with the sirens, the women in the mm-hmm. in the lake river, literally from the Odyssey, they're the sirens that tempt Odysseus and his friends and lead them astray to take them off the path on which they are on mm-hmm. to get back home and so forth, find the treasure. I think they help provide a good contrast for Odysseus' character as they're working through, we want to be saved. We want to live the righteous life. We want to do the right thing. Though they make wrong choices, they go rob a bank. They still like cheat and steal. But there's a conflict there. There's a moral conflict that they wrestle with and they work through throughout the film. And I think you see a change in them, and that kind of contrasts well with Odysseus's character, Ulysses's character, as he realizes that he's been a failure as a man, as a father, as a husband. When he sees his daughters, like you see his love for those girls, you see his desire for them. Yes, he's a liar, he's a cheat, he steals and does whatever he does want needs to get his way. But when it comes to his family, I think that his family, his motivation for his family, is what's changing him and what's causing him to live the righteous life and to show his wife that he can be the man that she deserves. He can be the man that does the right thing. So like throughout the film, yeah, he's an awful guy, and we don't really we know that as the audience. Mm-hmm. We contrast his character with his friends, and we see the lives they're trying to live, and then the consequences of his actions that affect his friends, as one of them turns into a toad, one of them goes to prison. Mm-hmm. But, you have glimpses of character growth in Ulysses' character throughout the film. Like with the KKK scene, is like he sacrifices himself to go into hell to rescue Tommy Johnson, to rescue his friend. For what reason? Oh, because this is wrong. What's happening? This is, we need to rescue this man from the devil. So let's go into hell and let's get him out. Which they do. And, I don't know. I think that there's enough struggle that we see throughout the film as he's wrestling with what does it look like for him to do the right thing. And even though he wants to be a good man, but he makes wrong choices. And he needs to deal with that. He needs to repent of that. And I think I'm not saying they do it perfectly at all. Mm-hmm. I do think there's a better way to do it. where we could have maybe, like, I don't know, is there a save the cat moment? I don't know. Probably not, as far as, like, early on in the film. Mm-mm. But I think because he because of his friends and because of the contrast we have with these characters and the arc that we see in Ulysses' character helps us sympathize more with him as a human being, as a sinner, as one who makes wrong choices, mm-hmm. who, you know, lies, cheats, and steals to get what he wants. But his desire for his wife, his heart, like he has right desires. They're just wrongly acted upon, I mm-hmm. guess. So yeah. In order to get home to his wife, he lies to his friends. Mm-hmm. And he breaks out of prison, you know. So he does the wrong thing out of a love for home and hearth, mm-hmm. a home and his people and his daughters. So yeah, I don't know. Like, that's kind of a long-winded answer, but I think that's how I kind of perceived it. Like, no, there's a progress here that I see in his character,
yeah.
as he makes his way throughout this journey, this quest that he goes on.
Yeah.
So
I also feel like another issue I had is I feel like probably because it's adapted from a book, I feel like the pacing is off. this movie, obviously, like, there's, like, it's just one after another, like, different people that they run into, different things that are happening. It does feel like chapters throughout this whole movie, but that's not really how a movie is supposed to be paced. And so that's another issue I had. I would say a little more minor, because, I mean, you can watch it and just, like, kind of view it as chapters, and that's kind of how I view it, is it's just a bunch of chapters. And I'm sure it's because it's adapted from a book. I do feel like the pacing could have been done a little better.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not, yeah, because it was adapted from a book. Like, they probably would have had to changed a lot. So I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I had less of an issue with the pacing. I watched it before I even read the book. I mean, again, like, I'm aware of the story. I think I read it back in, like, junior high or high mm-hmm. school. I don't know. I've read it before. I have, you know, various understanding of the story going into it. And then I read the Odyssey after watching it. And then that kind of helped me put a lot of pieces together. Mm. So watching it without even having read the book in my adult life, like, I didn't have really much issues. I knew that it is a journey that he's going on, and he's going mm-hmm. through different scenarios and meeting different quirky characters and so forth. Yes, it is a lot like the book, and that it is like chapters, like mm-hmm. thing, like the characters are going from place to place, dealing with issue upon issue and so forth. I don't know. I thought, like, even leading into the third act, with them playing the song in front of the crowd
concert. Yeah, it was
right.
They snuck into it. Yeah
they snuck in and play, like, that was kind of like the final act mm. scene where they win their freedom and so forth. And then you had the final confrontation with the devil, of course, and mm-hmm. and how they are rescued through divine providence, and exactly what happens in the Odyssey. So it's structured a lot like the book. Odysseus wins his freedom, wins his home back, but then he still has to deal with another issue following that, and it's very similar. So I think it works in that way, as it in that it's adapting the story of the Odyssey.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, like, I didn't have an issue with the pacing yeah. when I watched it. I can understand where you're getting at, mm-hmm. but I think it is not it's unconventionally paced, I would say, but I think it works for me, at least,
for sure. Okay,
so
what was your I don't know if you're fine with me just keep asking you questions about the movie.
Yeah, that's fine. Go for it.
What'd you think of the whole baptism scene? So what is that in the book, and then what is it in this? Like, what do you think of all that?
That's a good question. I don't know if I don't know if there's really any like direct parallel in the book necessarily, because like the two characters, his two companions, there's not really an equivalent to them in the Odyssey. It's just they're representing his men in general, but not in, even in the sense where they're like they get saved. So I don't know. I don't really have an answer there. I think from the movie standpoint, I thought that it was obviously symbolic and helpful for us following these characters to distinguish them as like Ulysses, like, yeah, he's the one, he doesn't get baptized. He thinks it's all mumbo jumbo. It's mm-hmm. superstition. These two boys, his friends who he got out of prison, he convinced through a lie to get out of prison. They're like, we want to set our lives on the straight and narrow. There's this baptism happening. Okay. So they go and get in the water, get wet and baptize. And, you know, obviously they appeal to their baptism as like their salvation, like they've been washed clean, mm-hmm. but it's symbolic in the sense that like there's a change in them. Mm-hmm. And maybe you can say it is like from like the Coen brothers might be saying that this is just like, is a superstitious thing where like, oh, they got wet, so now they think that everything's, you know, all right with their lives, right. And they're set on the straight and narrow, and you know, like the superstition of religion, maybe, like, I don't know. But I think they still, by the end of the film, that's not what I got out of it. What I got out of it was like, no, there was a baptism, and Ulysses is the one that goes through that baptism in the end, when he literally gets wet, gets baptized through divine intervention, essentially, and so forth. So, yeah, anyways, and then there's the very final scene with the cow and stuff, which we'll get to. Because so like the movie starts off with an oracle, a man on the train tracks. He's a blind man, and he gives a prophecy of saying that they're gonna see a cow on top of a roof or something like that. I can't remember exactly what he said, but it's like prophesying like kind of their adventure and their story, and that of course all happens and so forth. So I don't know. I don't know, what do you think about the whole baptism scene stuff?
No, a lot of what you're saying, like, I was wondering what the Coen brothers' intentions were they kind of laughing at mm-hmm. the whole, like, laughing at the idea of baptism and saying it's superstitious. I agree. Mm-hmm. I didn't really get that. I also like because right after that, he's like, you could have at least washed the dirt off of you. the dirt and the smell.
Right.
And so I think even that's kind of showing, like, I don't know if that was showing anything. But anyway, I was just curious, like, because I was wondering, like, what the intentions were of them. And you do definitely see a change even just right there in the beginning. And then you also see a contrast of the two guys that got baptized versus Ulysses. Just throughout the whole movie, you see a very different character between the two. And you do see, like... Right. Oh yeah, actually, they actually did seem to have repented from their sins, versus Ulysses, mm-hmm. who didn't, and so you see that contrast between them throughout the entire movie, because that happened right at the beginning. It's one of the first odd things that they ran into. It was the first thing that they ran into, and so it kind of just set a good precedent for the whole movie.
Totally.
Yeah. So what was the what was the cow scene, like when they're shooting the cows? What was that in the book?
Oh, the livestock.
Yeah. Oh, George.
There's actually various times. So I kind of mentioned how Odysseus, he's kind of a liar and a cheat. Like, there's a lot of similar parallels. Like, he's not a flawless character in the story. There are scenes where he has his men pretty much destroy the livestock of other people's nations, that like other tribes they come in contact with and they wrestle with and fight against, and not in a very righteous way even. And so when like you have to him like killing the livestock, it's like, oh, this is literally what happens in the book, where Odysseus having his men like just, you know, kill and just destroy the livestock, like be rid of them. And because they're dealing with people that are antagonistic towards them, and he needs to deal with the situation and stuff. And like I said, not super righteous in how he does it, but it's just funny that they parallel that with the robber, the guy that robbed the bank, going just shooting the livestock, not the livestock. So it's just fun parallel. Nice.
Sweet. Is there any other things that you wanted to go over before we go into the third act?
I don't think so. You know, I kind of like how they record this song early in the film, and then it's from their perspective, it doesn't go anywhere. Nothing changes.
They know nothing about it, and then
apparently the song's getting spread throughout, and it's becoming famous, and people are loving this. The Soggy Bottom Boys, Soggy Bottom, this famous band that no one knows about is like hitting the charts and becoming popular on the radio. But they're just going about their life trying to get away from the devil and trying to complete their quest.
Yeah.
So it's just interesting how that all works out.
Yeah. And then they go into that concert and start singing, and as he sings the first verse, and everybody freaks out.
Everybody freaks out. And it's Soggy Bottom Boys.
They're just like really confused.
It's like, what's going on? But that's like honestly one of my favorite scenes in a movie, and in this season of movies that we've been doing. Like, this is like probably one of my top three like favorite scenes, just in how it all comes together, all the threads leading to this one point, pretty much every single thread in the movie, with them recording the song, with them rescuing Tommy and finding their way into this venue. You have the mayor who's trying to get elected, and he uses this as an opportunity for his campaign.
I'm not here to record a song, you dumb cracker.
Right, in that scene where he goes to the recording studio, and then he now uses this as an opportunity for his campaign to say he's for the Soggy Bottom Boys, because like he's popular with the people, or the band's popular with the people, and everything. And then you have the wife there, who also, her name's Penny. Penelope is Odysseus's wife, so obviously they use the same name there. Penny is Ulysses is trying to win her over, because like this is his wife. Like, I think this is one thing I love about his character, is that it's his love for his woman, his wife, that is driving him on his goal. He makes mistakes, he does the wrong thing, but he's repenting, he's learning, he's saying, I'm going to take responsibility, I'm going to be a man. And it leads up to this scene where they get up there and sing, and he does win, and in that moment he wins over his wife, and you have the bona fide suitor, the man is trying to win her over, he's there as well, and they play the song. Everyone goes crazy and they love it, and it's a big hit. And then the mayor pardons them, gives them freedom in that moment. So everything's led up to that. They get their freedom. He gets the girl, and they go free. He's won his. They've completed their quest. They're completing their task. And I think it's and is there's not like a I would say like where things could have been better is like there's not like a clear repentance here. Mm-hmm. But there is a like he is showing his wife that he's going to do what he needs to do to mm-hmm. win her over, and he does. And then you have they're free, and then they have their deal with the devil and his crisis of faith at the end and so forth. So I don't, before we get there, like anything else about that scene, I think it's great, man. Like the song itself, yeah. And the lyrics,
the wife
fit
even
perfectly.
The wife, when they start singing, she also has a moment of realization that that was him because she's heard the song. Yeah. She knows how famous yeah. it is, and then she realizes yeah. it's her husband, and she's like, "Oh my gosh!"
Right.
And
but he's gone on a journey yeah. to get back to her. He's yeah. gone on this journey and this adventure and dealt with many sorrows and hardships in order to win back mm-hmm. his wife and his home and his yeah. legacy and his people.
Yeah.
And just like Odysseus, he does.
Yeah.
He wins his freedom. He wins his wife in that moment. That's why I just love that scene where everything yeah. culminates and comes together so well in a way that you're not expecting. Like mm-hmm. The fact that they sneak into this place and get up on stage, put on some beards and play this yeah. song, like that was the hero moment. And I yeah. was like, wow, like that was incredible. Like how it all came together. So,
yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. Yeah, and I don't got anything else.
Yeah. And then we got kind of the second, third act, final act, where they're I'm trying to remember how they get they make their way to his home or where the treasure was supposed to be. Mm-hmm. Right, because we didn't say this, but his friends find out that he lied about the treasure. Mm-hmm. It wasn't there. He only said this in order so that he can go win his wife back, and like he's a lie and cheat, and there's consequences to that and so forth. They go to that place, to his home, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, but, well, the wife wanted her ring to get
right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Yeah, that was it. Yeah, so she wanted her wedding ring that was left back at his home where the treasure was supposed to be, you know. So in the end, like the treasure that was fake then, mm-hmm. wasn't real then, like he finds like his treasure was his wife. Mm-hmm. His treasure was his family. That was the treasure that he was actually going after, but he lied to his friends about. But that's also part of the lesson that he learns by the end of the film in a great way. Mm-hmm. So they go to find the wedding ring, but then they run into the sheriff, run into the devil, and he's pretty much saying, like, you guys have, you know, run your course, your time's up, this mm-hmm. is it. And like, well, no, we've been pardoned. we're free now. And he's like, not that I know of. And
they announced it on the radio. We don't have a radio.
Yep. And so now they're gonna get hanged, gonna get hung. Yep. So they're, you know, about to make their way to the noose and be hung. Also, throughout the film, or I think it was mentioned in the beginning of the film, there was talks of them undamming a river. Mm-hmm. And which I'm blanking on exactly how that was all worked out. Basically, there was a river that they've been talking about undamming, to let it, you know, let the river flow through the valley or something, and then this is the moment that happens, and there was like reference throughout the film and so forth, and now it's like as they're about to be hung, they're about to die. The river runs through this little valley where they're at and mm-hmm. washes them away and defeats, you know, the devil, the sheriff, and mm-hmm. and all the things, everything. And then that's when they win their final freedom of because they've been freed from the law, but the devil's still hunting them down. And then through, I would say, divine intervention, Though you can say, well, no, it's just a natural thing. Like it was already, they've been planning on doing this. Like the river was going to get dammed, undammed, and they kind of knew this. The whole town knew this. They just happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. Whatever. I think the point is this is a, like the story of the Odyssey, it's a divine thing that's happening. The gods are doing this to rescue Odysseus.
Yeah. Well, or Ulysses. That was our moment of repentance for Ulysses, because
he
got down on his knees and prayed and repented and was he was literally confessing to God about all the wrong things that he had done, and then right after that the water came in and took out the devil.
Yeah, exactly. He, you know, in the face of death, which that is what it took, he had won his wife, but he was still stubborn. He still needed that moment of repentance. And when he was faced with death is when he decided, he's going to live the right life. Mm-hmm. And then the river comes through, washes him away. He gets baptized after his repentance. Okay. Mm-hmm. symbolic, the water comes in and he gets his baptism that was mentioned at the beginning of the movie about how he's, making fun of his friends who getting baptized. And of course the baptism happens outside of his control. He's getting wet. He got baptized. It happened. And he gets washed away, baptized, and he comes out of the water, so he gets washed away, and you have the scene where he comes out. And then this is where you can see maybe a little bit of nihilism, a little bit of this is just superstition peeking through in some senses, where he afterwards he comes out of the water and then his friends make a comment about him getting repenting or being saved, and he's like, it basically said, I told you this is all just superstition, like this river was supposed to be undammed anyway, like this was gonna happen. He's like, so he kind of like relents of his, or he repents of his repentance, it seems like. But then he looks over and sees a cow on top of a roof, which ties back to the beginning of the film with the oracle, with the prophecy, where you can tell in his face that, no, he believes. Like, okay, this is, like, his stubbornness comes through once again in the end, but even his stubbornness is thwarted by this divine intervention that he sees, this fulfillment of the prophecy that he was told by the oracle at the beginning of the film. This cow standing on a roof, which is just, it's a ridiculous thing, but it shows like, oh yeah, he can't deny that there's something there. He can't deny that there was divine intervention. And I think that was proof that, like, though he was stubborn, there was still a repentance and a change in him. And when he sees that cow, it's like, that was the final straw. And
yeah,
there's the final change in his character.
Yep.
And yeah, man, I love this movie.
Yeah.
It's so great.
It's great.
Yeah. I don't know. Man, this movie should have been higher on my list. I'll say that. And we'll get to my score in a minute. But
yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, there's just a bunch of just humor and irony, story of redemption. Like I said, the treasure turns out to be kind of less than expected, but he finds new treasure in his family and his people. This family that he was estranged by, that was being won over by another suitor, another man, that he goes and wins back his wife, the woman that belongs to him. Yeah, I don't know, man. It's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's
fun.
I've got nothing else. I mean,
I think the Coen brothers did a great job at modernizing the Odyssey in some ways, where it's like, this isn't like a shot for shot direct adaptation of the Odyssey, even if it was like set in modern times. Like, it's loosely based off the Odyssey. Like, there's enough differences where you could say that it's loosely based, but there's also a lot of similarities, which are great. Where they're just pulling bits and pieces and elements. Yeah. And apparently they started writing this script and coming up with the story idea not intentionally having anything to do with the Odyssey. It's after they came up with the idea, they realized, oh, this is similar to the Odyssey. And they hadn't even actually read the Odyssey before before it. So they went back and like, okay, they read the Odyssey and learned more about the story. And like, okay, let's bring in all these different elements for this story. Because the story of the Odyssey, you read it and like, oh, there's so many things that other writers and authors and filmmakers have drawn inspiration, it's even unintentionally.
Yeah, it's set out the groundwork for storytelling. Yeah.
Absolutely. It's an ancient story of a hero. It's the hero's journey.
Yeah, the hero's journey.
I got a lot of the Lord of the Rings in this, Star Wars. There's so many different just stories that have been written and movies, stories told that draw inspiration intentionally or unintentionally from the Odyssey.
Oh, yeah. Well, The Hobbit, I mean, that's very similar.
Oh, totally, yeah.
Well, you got, I mean,
yeah.
Very, very similar.
Definitely.
I haven't read it, and I already know how similar it is. Yeah, no, it's great. It'll be interesting to see Christopher Nolan's take and see what they do with that and how that's going to be adapted.
I thought about that a lot as far as, like, man, how would I adapt this? And
especially if you set out saying, I'm adapting the Odyssey versus this, which is like, like you said, they kind of wrote it and then they were like, oh, it's similar, so let's make it.
Definitely.
Cool.
And it'll be interesting. I'm assuming Matt Damon's probably going to play Odysseus, which I'm not a big fan of Matt Damon. The Bourne movies are fun, but I don't know. I'm not sure he's going to be a good pick. And that's just us. I'm assuming. I don't know. Tom Holland's definitely going to play Odysseus's son. I think that's just like perfect fit for him. I don't know who Zendaya is going to play. I don't know.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Who else? But I think it could be really good. It'll be interesting to see how they do it, because how the story's written, you can't just go shot for shot and make a movie about it. And there's a lot you're going to have to leave out because it's pretty long. So it'll be really interesting to see where they go and how Nolan handles it. I'm excited. It'll be good.
Yeah, hopefully. For sure. Cool. You ready to rate this?
I sure am.
Sweet.
So, Tobias, what's our highest rated film this season, which was two films ago?
Saving Private Ryan is our number one.
Yep. 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 That's what,
9.6.
Six, yeah. Do you mind giving your rating first? I'm struggling with it because I don't have very many problems with it. I get your concerns. I get that there's a pacing problem. I just, overall, I don't know. I think it's a solid, well put together. I don't know. It's fun.
I think it's definitely higher up now that we've talked about it than it was originally before making our lists. It's sitting. Man, say it, 9.
9 flat, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm glad you gave it a 9. I think that's great. I'm thinking more like a 9.3, if I'm being honest. If we're going to have Saving Private Ryan at 9.6, and I'm just being fair to this movie and how I feel about it, 9.3 is where I'd have it. So, I don't know. What do you want to do? 9.1 or 9.2?
9.2 is good.
9.2?
Yeah.
We
can do 9.2. I think
it's solid. Yeah. Cool. I mean, after watching it again, this definitely jumped up higher on my list. Like, it's not the best movie in the world. It's just a personal favorite and a movie that I personally enjoy. It made me want to watch more Coen Brothers movies.
Mm-hmm.
There's a Nicolas Cage Coen Brothers movies, which is one of like Nicolas Cage's first movies, called Arizona Baby or something.
I haven't seen that one.
Saving Arizona, or I don't know, something in Arizona. I want to watch that. It's just like looking at some of their older films, and then I just think they're brilliant storytellers and directors, and I don't know. I think that I want to. Yeah. I just want to study more of their films and,
yeah,
and learn from them. You know, we got True Grit coming up. That one's a fun one. And then No Country for Old Men. I'm really excited about that one.
Yeah.
Just watching it again and unpacking it. So after, especially after this one. So, O Brother, Where Art Thou? 9.2. Solid film.
So, Raising Arizona. Sorry. Raising Arizona was their second
Raising
movie,
Arizona.
Actually.
Okay. Yeah.
Which is, so that's really early in their filmography. But yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. 9.2. It's great.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's Old Brother, Where Art Thou?
Went cool. Yeah. Our next movie pray. Is Karate Kid 2010.
Karate Kid
2010 version.
Yep.
We got 6 movies left. So, 6 more months, and then we'll announce our next season, and it's going to be fun. Karate Kid 2010 next. I'm excited to do that.
Watch it. We'll talk about it.
Yep.
Look forward to it.
For sure. Cool. Well.
Oh, also, you need to watch. Okay. And I have a requirement or a suggestion. You should watch the first Karate Kid as well. I'm going to do that at least just to compare. And because I do think that'd be a fun discussion to add to it. If you don't have time, that's fine. But if you do have time, watch the first Karate Kid. I'm definitely doing
it. I watched it once and had no interest in ever watching it again.
Why? Because it's like, we need to finish this up. Okay. We'll talk
in
about it.
In my opinion, it was so poorly made. Like, it's just so poorly made.
Okay. Yeah. It's been a long time since I've seen it. I'll say that. So I don't know.
I mean, it was old, yeah. So is that the only reason it was poorly made? Maybe. But it just seems so cheap. Like, just a cheap movie. I'm like, ugh, this.
Okay.
Everything just seemed so cheap.
Well, I mean, okay.
They probably didn't have that big of a budget. Well, yeah, I know. I'm sure they didn't. But I don't like watching low budget movies that suck. Like, you got to have good quality.
Okay, fine. Yeah, okay. Let's finish this off.
All right.
Thank you guys for listening. Bye. You want to close this out?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Thank you guys for listening. Okay. Hope you enjoyed this review of O Brother, Where Art Thou? The Coen Brothers movie from 2000. And yeah, it's a good one. Hope you liked it. Mm-hmm. Hope you benefited from this review and helped you to kind of see how you should be looking at movies, how you should be analyzing them and working through them as you're watching them. So that you yourself can know, is this a good movie I'm watching or a bad movie I'm watching? And yeah, that's what we're here to do. We're here to offer a service to help you and help you analyze what you're consuming and what you're feeding your soul. This is something you are consuming. So something that's going into your body, and even deeper into your soul. So yeah, remember to glorify God and watch good movies. We're out. See you next time.
Bye. Bye-bye.